What major events do you recall having a tremendous influence on your life? Так я говорю, это не в мое время было, но оно потом повлияло на. So, when my parents were living in China, they lived there for, you know, they had all the children, they lived there for about 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
They went through, you know, some time, really hard times. There was hardly anything to eat in at some point, so for many years. So my mom had to be really, it was really hard for her, you know, when she had nothing to feed the kids. So she learned to save whatever food they have, she, you know. So that hasn't influenced me, even, you know, when I was born, they had food. But, you know, they didn't throw things out, they ate leftovers, you know, all of that. I think that had an influence on how I was raised and how amazing my kids, you don't waste, you know, food, because my mom used to tell us how hard it was on them. You know, she had 12 kids out there in China, 13, and she had, you know, not much food. So that's the only thing. Otherwise, you know, I don't have anything, because I didn't live through the Depression or any real wars, really, not even the Vietnam War. You know, I was too young, and that was, the Vietnam War was, what, in the 1960s? But anyway, that was way before my time, too, so that really doesn't have any influence on me, except for what my mom had to go through in China. What message would you leave for youth of today? And the children and grandchildren. What message would you leave for them? Because I teach Russian at school, I think, and I always tell them this message all the time anyway, I'm telling them, you know, learn to speak Russian. Speak Russian with your children when you have children, you know. So then you can, your children can still communicate with their grandparents, because there are still a lot of older parents around who don't speak English.
Mm-hmm.
And so then their grandchildren can't even communicate with them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's probably what I would say, you know, don't. Because then if they lose the Russian language, they lose their culture. They lose their traditions. And it's just not the same if you don't have the language but to go with it. Don't you agree?
Yeah.
So that's what I would tell them.
Thank you.
Вы знаете, давайте остановимся на трех вещах. Что самое главное для человека? Три вещи, правильно же? Ну да, и дай Бог. Правда? И такой вопрос сразу вам. Из этих трех вещей, что самое необходимое для человека? Еда, вода и
хвост.
Вот. То есть мы смотрим на то, еще человек живет. Правильно же? Если ты можешь прожить 40 дней, правильно сказать, больше. Без воды можешь 3 дня просто прожить больше. Без воздуха он может минуту, правильно? То есть мы просто там чуть-чуть прожить. Но воду здесь чистую, правильно? Не понимаете, какая это воду, но так. Питер у вас видит.
Никак, не понимаю.
Тем более. Еду покупаете свежую, правильно? Не видите, а мясо подширяем, да? Что вы делаете с воздухом? То есть, в принципе, воздуху мы не выделяем должен внимание. Вы не выделяете, правильно? Но оказывается, что воздух, что воды и еды мы потребляем в 10 раз меньше, чем на кучу воздуха. Если, допустим, еды мы потребляем в день, сутки, где-то около 3 фантов, то воздух, соответственно, 35 фантов. Более чем 10 раз. Вот. Тем не менее, отходя от вашего дивана, день вы глотаете 2 столовые ложки. Все это, причем, просто, в принципе, как вы сказали, одним тоже делаем. Это ведет к различным заболеваниям. Легочные системы, кровеносные системы, подобные системы. Пыли идет сначала в легкие, потом обращение приходит в мозг, сердце, это говорит, на трудно. То есть, если вы глотаете пыль, то она уже где-то смотрит. Правильно? Если вы попили. Если вы попили грязную воду, не сели какую-то прокачанную пищу, то можете сказать, выйти через пользу. Правильно? А если мы, допустим, Проснули грязного воздуха, то нужно проверить. А мы тут уже пошли. Как это? Правда?
Ну что, оставили будешь?
Нет. Леонид, а смотри куда?
Очищает.
Окей, хорошо. Вы знаете, если человек, допустим, из Вильи, допустим, где-то там в Кавказских горах, он может поступать 30 лет, человек у нас в университете, в Калифорнии, там, не знаю, будет в Москве, там, в Калифорнии, правильно? Что это говорит? Это говорит о том, что окружающие всегда сильно, правильно? Если вы... Сюда, это проблема не старая. Эта проблема не новая, ученые в 1903 году серьезно говорили об этом проблеме. В 1980 году АФСМ, американский ученый, написал книгу, которую мы сказали, почему ваш дом становится опасным для вас. Чем знаменитым путем, в том, что вы вывел, обнаружил домашнего природу. И здесь он на рисунке представился очень большой, я не помню, какой большой его можно было поймать и удалить. Но, к сожалению, слишком микроскопический и коробки. Там и начало терапия, мы сейчас до 8. Где они обитают? Они обитают в вашем доме, они обитают в вашей квартире. Живут в ваших карпетах, диванах, матрасах, подушках, каких-то подобных. Для них идеальным питанием является ваша кожа, ваши волоски и так далее, там, подобных. И в то же время, с помощью пыли они передвигаются по воздуху. Питаются думал два уровня. Знаете, если вы посмотрите, допустим, на ваш у вас лучик солнца в окно, и вы смотрите, какой у вас пыли, да? Видите, да? Мы с ним будем искать лучик солнца. Солнца не сильно много. Мы просто посмотрим, что у вас. Что у вас, в принципе, делается? То есть, да, пыль, которая у вас есть. Вот это то, что у вас съедает, пищи, и ваш кожа, кучу даже пищи, и так далее. Стоит вам пройтись или еще что-то, это немного смешает. Стоит вам сесть на диван или встать с дивана. О чем это говорит? О том, что питательная среда для этих клетчиков у вас идеально. Правильно? Давайте посмотрим дальше. Но, если вы пришли с работы, вы устали, да, вы после 26-го дня, допустим, вы устали, что вы делаете? Четвертый наш, четвертый на улице. Выходите на улицу, дышите сверху, поздно. И тут оказывается, что вот на улице быстро чище, чем воздух в помещении, самым чистым. Почему такое происходит? Почему это так? Не всегда в этом. Знаете, это прежде всего потому, потому что природа постоянно омывает таким образом. Дождя, снега, росы, получит тумана, отождает туман, слава богу, что если вы выходите на воздух, на улицу, то сразу становится легче. Правильно? Вы знаете, немцы долго думали и придумали тоже такую машинку, которая называется дельфин. Может, дельфин, почему? Потому что связано с тем, что связано с водой. Единственное то, что они немножко изменили процесс. Если в природе воздух, вода проходит через воздух, здесь воздух проходит через воду. Машинка, что не примечательно то, что на стыке двух частей, прежде всего это непосредственно сам корпус, где располагается мотор и самосвод. Для того, чтобы она начала работать, он просто залит воду и все. Что здесь примечательно в этой машине, прежде всего, что эта машина сделана не из простого пластика, как у нас обычные пылесосы или еще. Она сделана из самого прочного пластика, который мы делаем на Земле. Это не переработанный термический пластик. Если вы посмотрите на все ваши вещи, которые сделаны из пластика, то вы не посмотрите, что это создано ваше место. Это из простого обычного пластика. Какая разница в том, что простой обычный пластик это очень помощь мне при ударе и все тесты. Здесь совершенно, совершенно другая история. В том, что это самый прочный факт. Мы можем пользоваться железным. Был бы тогда очень тяжелый, вам трудно было бы опыт. Этот сделан из нас. И что нам еще
такое? Прочный такой.
Да.
Самый прочный набой.
Да. Я
был там, именно на фирме, где делают пластик. Рисуют, делают объекты. Но больше на это усилия. Крылья делают для самолета, для военных подачек. Т-22.
Вы знаете, я не буду говорить, что там на Боинге делают, я не знаю, это такой же пластик или нет, но я говорю про то, что вот этот пластик, который в Литвине, это действительно пока прочный пластик, понимаете, если сравнить его с обычным пластиком, который покупает в магазине, это совсем другая вещь. Единственное то, что я после тех на линии водички сюда, мы посмотрим, как он работает.
Я был на презентации где-то около года назад.
К вам приходили или вы были где?
Я у него был, вот и там я смотрел.
Вдруг купил Rainbow?
Да.
Купил?
Да.
А вы?
Я не купил.
Почему?
Спасибо большое.
Почему не купили Rainbow?
Тогда-то я уже один раз купил Big Power. Но у него оказался очень плохой пластик. Итальянский такой на воде, Big Power.
Компания объявила о банкротстве.
Вот. А там тот пластик весь полопал. Через два года. Все оно полопало.
Ну и заказали опять $140.
А Big Power очень плохая, вы меня извините, конечно. Big Power очень плохая компания. Машины, которые они выпускали, на самом деле очень нестойкие. И идею, которую они разработали, она так себя и не оправдала. Вот эти вот кастрюли, которые одна в другую вставляются там внутри, которые якобы создают завихрение, на самом деле вся грязь по этим кастрюлям размазывается, на этом и заканчивается. И то, что...
У нас именно такое, что она вся остается.
Грязь остается,
но она вся размазанная по стенкам. Я когда вы заканчиваете уборку, эта грязь почему-то сухая, правда? Если эта грязь сухая, значит воды там нет в этот момент.
Там где именно она попадает и прилипает.
Правильно. А выше все сухое.
Выше эта грязь сухая.
Значит, через эту грязь воздух идет, а она. Поэтому и фильтры стоят после всего прочего.
Фильтры.
Раз стоят фильтры.
Фильтр забивается.
А раз стоят фильтры, какой смысл от воды?
Никакого.
Там, где есть фильтры, значит, не работает вода. Там, где нет фильтра, значит, должна работать вода. Про фильтры мы поговорим чуть позже.
Давайте посмотрим на вашу водичку, которую вы принесли из крана. То есть это абсолютно чистая вода, правильно?
Мы его знаем, мы же не проверяем, мы ее не пьем.
Вы ее не пьете, но вы знаете, делаете суп, подарят вам подобное, правильно? Теперь чай, кофе делаете.
Нет, правильно? Это
самое делаем. Другой воды, ну окей, хорошо. Это чистая вода, правильно?
Чистая.
Если бы у вас не было той воды, вы пили бы эту воду?
Пили. Пили раньше.
Вы раньше пили, то есть это абсолютно чистая вода, да? Давайте теперь еще немножко остановимся от любви. Я бы вам хотел сказать, так по классике я вам сказал, что здесь еще существует, здесь еще сепаратор, который определяет воду и воду. Обращается сепаратор со скоростью 14 тысяч оборотов в минуту и перерабатывает около 500 километров в воду. Вот. Как эта системка работает? Просто включаете машинку и грязный воздух, весь воздух, который у вас есть,
достаточно,
да? Иванов, итак, непосредственно из грязного воздуха сюда выходит уже чистый, омытый водой воздух.
Вода будет грязная,
да? Давайте посмотрим, я же не знаю, может, у вас чисто, хотя так, я не знаю, давайте посмотрим. Во-первых, во-вторых, это тоже самое, та же самая декорация практически, то, что у вас сюда природа, чисто, 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 вот и как запах озона, как после дождя, правда? Чувствуете, да? Чувствуете, как отсюда ваш воздух? Чувствуете?
Чисто новое пластика.
Вы не чувствуете свежего воздуха?
Не, похоже, чудесно у вас будет.
Холодный идет просто
воздух. Холодный, чистый воздух, свежий воздух. Вы чувствуете, да? Чувствуете, да? Окей, хорошо. Итак, вот эту эль, которую мы с вами уже почистили, в принципе, все. А?
Сейчас?
Еще раз покажу.
Не, вот это ты же почистил дома, или как?
Я не говорю вот эту эль, потому что не знаю. Она почистилась, да.
Уже почистилась?
Я же вам сказал, что тут полминуты.
А Гурик, покажи воду, ну ничего ты споришь с людьми. Воду покажи, ну что ты споришь с людьми?
Я не спорю, я же покажу. Давайте посмотрим теперь водичку. Видели, как у вас водичка чистая была, да? Давайте посмотрим на эту водичку. Очистилась у вас эта тормоза или нет? Как? Окей, а это откуда?
Немножко есть что-то, да?
Ну, конечно, не важно, потому что мы работаем. Для того, чтобы очистить вашу комнату, нужно не хватит. Поработаем 20 минут, будет намного лучше в воде всего. Откуда это скажу? Это моя грязь или ваша грязь? Это ваша пыль? А как вы думаете, очистила воду?
Я не уверена, что он все почистил.
Ну, оно не почистило, оно...
Ну, немножко потянуло, да.
Да, конечно. То есть это откуда? Это ваше? Ваше. Окей, воздух. Итак, мы чувствовали запах озона, да? Если у нас есть водичка, мы можем делать что-то другое. То есть ароматизировать, делать запах, который мы хотим чувствовать. Который мы хотим чувствовать, в принципе, правильно? Допустим, у нас есть немецкие такие запахи. Это быть шпиль, который очень прав, и вроде что здесь есть. Здесь есть запах, и апельсиновый запах, и росы, бор. Вот. Ну что, в принципе, я советую использовать это, конечно, эвкалипт, если это точно, что все очень хорошие санатории располагаются в эвкалипте. Ну, проще, это естественное очиститель.
У нас тоже есть эвкалипт.
Эвкалипт, да? Но единственное то, что здесь эвкалипт с мятой, тем лучше тем, что мята, это, прежде очень хорошее, натуральное, противоаллергическое средство. Да? Бабушки и деревни, иногда какие-то вырычки, еще что-то, мыться с помощью мяты. То есть мята, это прежде аллергическое средство, и все смеси вытащили и мяты, и открыть. Добавим немножко, допустим, 2-3 капельки. У нас уже будет воздух не просто, допустим, как после дождя, а может быть, чувствовать этот запах эвкалиптовой рощи. Когда выезжает, у нас уже запах этой рощи специально там чувствуется. Да? Причем сейчас находится? Но я спрашиваю, что вам находится эвкалиптовой рощи, правильно?
Нет, эвкалипт очень полезный.
Очень полезный, да. Вот так. Получается работа, каким образом природа омывает подход за окном, понимаете? То есть, не выходя на улицу, на это дело на себя дома, понимаете? Дальше. Если у вас... Хорошо берет? Хорошо. Хорошо выплачивает? Вот этот вот ноги. Дальше. Допустим, вы заболели. Вы пришли с работы, полицейские разработки, через день уже вас будут болеть, правильно? Чтобы это не происходило, у нас есть специальное дезинфицирующее средство, которое называется сплэш. И что в этом сплэше важно, то, что он убивает всю заразу, которая у вас летает, вирусы, бактерии и так далее и тому подобное. Мы добавляем совсем немножко сюда, вот, и получается то, что у нас уже запах, у нас как такой, как бы, запах. Ну что вы хотите сказать? Что это предотвращает поражение? Вот если вы заболеете, если вас не нужно заразиться, если будет эта машинка включена, считайте 20 минут, пока воздух не переработает, и у вас уже ваша квартира, ваш дом чистая от этих микроорганизмов, которые вам будут. Итак, кроме того, вы заболели, допустим, вы перед 15-20 минут, потом ставите эту машинку в спальне, она работает, вы спите в этой, вы ложитесь спать, вы спите в этом завтра, на скалипто или в этом конституционном завтра, вы стоите утром, вы заявите волосы не заложены, вы не читаете, не кашляете и так далее и тому подобное. Это касательно этого. Кроме того, вы знаете, что человек построил дом, наполнил его различными различными, так сказать, вещами, в частности мебелью и так далее и тому подобное. И эта мебель пылится, раньше пылится, она каким-то образом убирает, это и тому подобное. Вы знаете, и как ты думал, различные средства уборки, это метелки, совочки, там, тряпочки, пылесос. И самым удобным, самым распространенным средством уборки является
Холодный пахнет? Должна она работать.
Так оно вонят не шел.
Правильно. То есть, в чем заключается вся идея? В том, что если стоит фильтр после воды, вы здраво мыслящие. Когда вы купили эти палки, когда вам показывали эту машину, они сказали о том, что вы же не в двух барах купили,
правильно? Так, рассказывали.
Вот Толик Шкуринский рассказывал.
Не, Юра.
Юра? А. Вот. И он говорил, ну что вот вода, это очень хорошо, все замечательно. Одну шутку они сняли. Вы не пустят пять фильм. Кто вы этим, что вы говорите? Про это они почему-то выбрали.
Нет, но мы уже, я думаю, надо
сказать. Нет?
Да. Там он похож на такой же бачок маленький.
Стекло.
Да.
Под стеклом от этого цвета.
Нет, фильтр я не видел.
Сейчас он принесет свой
маленький экспорт. Почему? Потому что я как раз толкнул людей там.
У него рейнбург есть. Он сейчас вам покажет. Но, видишь,
маленький.
Сейчас он покажет. Здесь система такая, смотрите, фильтры. Это фильтры вот эти, которые стоят, как мешок. Мешок и поезд прицел, правильно? Пыль попадает, поезд забивает, правильно? Все, что меньше пор выходит, то, что крупнее задерживается, так и ваша система. Фильтр ваш не работает. Если фильтр не работает, воздух не приходит, то что пылесос не работает. То, что он гудит, это еще не значит, что он
тянет.
Вот смотри, абсолютно новейший рейнбол, который...
Это видели?
Ну, конечно, думаю. Думаю.
А где пылесос?
Ну, бачок я просто не принес, зачем он? Фильтрный сепаратор. Вот он. В этом случае ничего не поэтому после этого... Вы понимаете, какая вещь? Ваш, когда вы покупали этот Big Power, у вас до этого был стоп. Убра, Юрика. Как еще?
Мы тоже приехали.
Только приехали.
А вот смотри, там и какое-то это,
такое вот. Это что тоже каким-то образом убрать через руку. В воде не осталось. Все эта грязь, которую вы здесь видите, поток этой кастрюли, вот она. Значит, это все летит обратно, потом, или
Grandparents. Oh, okay. My parents' name were Ivan and Anna Basajan, and their parents' names were Grigory and Ksenia Martyshev, and Abram and Lukia Basajan. My parents were born in Russia in the Khabarovsk. I don't know where that is. Anyway, they were born there and they traveled with their parents to China where they lived for 20 years or so. And that's where my parents grew up and got married. Then they moved to Brazil, lived there for a few years before they finally came to America, which was in Oregon, the Willamette Valley. And now we're here. Anyway, I have many brothers and sisters. 9 sisters and 4 brothers. Yes. All their names, you don't want to all know all their names, do you? What are their names and when and where they were born? All my brothers and sisters were born in China, except for me. I was born in Brazil. So, do you have special relationships with your brothers? Yeah. I see my brothers and sisters as often as I can. You know, we see each other, we go to their weddings. Do you have memories of special births, weddings, or deaths and the traditions surrounding the events? Special births? Well, I guess special births would be my 4 daughters. And, you know, I'm not sure what else. Weddings, we have big weddings here. Girls love to go to weddings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we don't have any weddings in this village because it's so small. We usually have to go to Vasnesenka or Nikolaevsk, which are in the Homer area. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of those villages there?
Mm-hmm.
They have to live, bigger villages there, so whenever there's a wedding,
mm-hmm.
that's where it happens. And so we don't go out there. But sure, svadby, gulyanky. Deaths and traditions surrounding those events. Well, my parents both have died already, so we buried them out there in Vasnesenka. And, you know, there's special traditions. You have, you go to church, and then you bury them, and then you do a lot of praying for them, and then you have a big feast. So mm-hmm. that would be a special tradition just for that. Births? I didn't say about the traditions of births. We have our children being baptized, right? Mm-hmm. Baptized in church. And given, you know, that's when they're given their name, the Christian given their name, and then we invite, you know, a few people over and we have a, you know, kind of a small feast celebrating the event of the channel. Вы все понимаете, что я говорю?
Да.
Хорошо.
Mm-hmm.
When were you born? Where were you born? Oh, that was the same question right there. Okay, yeah, I was born in Brazil, but I only spent 3 years there, so I don't remember anything in Brazil. Then we moved to Oregon, and I spent 7 more years in Oregon. I do remember those. What I remember most about those years is spending my time in the berry fields, because that's where my parents made their money. Picking berries. That's how they got their money. What do you call a typical day for you as a child? Well, that's my typical day in the summer, all summer long in the berry fields. And then in the winter, I went to school. What a typical day. When you were a teenager, what was a typical day like? Well, what's your typical day like? School and more school.
Then you work more at school.
And homework after school. That's the same way it was for me. But I had a little more fun than they did because in the evenings after school, we girls got together and we went to somebody's house and did what we called vichorki. You know, we took our embroidery along, you know,
mm-hmm.
school. And so we would embroider, you know, different pictures and, you know, shirts for the our brothers and things like that. And we'd sit around and embroider and laugh and talk. And the boys would come over, of course, the teenage boys, and try to keep us from doing our work. And so then we'd come home and we're in trouble because we didn't do anything done. So that's what we used to do in the evenings. We had to do our some handwork. When you were a young adult, what was your typical day different from your earlier youth? When I was a young adult, I went to work when I was 16. 17, actually. When I was 17 years old, that was my typical day. I went to work every day. But after work, just got together with friends, I guess. From school and to work and then back with friends, it really wasn't any different from a young adult to a teenager. But then I left my parents when I was And went to Oregon, from Alaska to Oregon, and went to college there for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So that was a different thing that I did, I guess. Went to college. Responsibilities? Yeah, my responsibilities. When I went to college, I had to make my own money, pay for my own college, you know, pay for my apartment. When I lived at home, it was totally different, you know. My mom cooked, I ate, went to work, and, you know, didn't have to do much, you know, help clean house a bit, but it was very different when I was in New York. What were the names of the schools you attended? Well, the first school was in Oregon, when it was in Jervis. It was just Jervis Elementary School. And then we moved to Alaska, to Nikolaevsk, so it was Nikolaevsk School. And then college in Chemeketa in Oregon. That's about it. Who was your best childhood friend? Well, I would have to say that would be Anna, my cousin Anna. Anna Kuzmin, and then she got married and became Anna Rutoff. And she moved to Canada. That's where her husband was from. So I missed her a lot when she got married and moved away, and I never got to see her, except for once in a, you know, few years. So, but I went to Canada last summer, and I got to see her, and I got to stay at her place and meet her kids, so that was really nice. We went to a wedding in Canada. You know there's a Russian community out there. Mm-hmm. What did you do to pass the time away? What kind of games did you enjoy? Well, it depends where you're at. Was that, I guess, it's my first years in Oregon, our school was our backyard. Our house was right next to the schoolyard. Mm-hmm. So they had all these swings and everything else, and then we spent all our time in the schoolyard after school playing on all those slides and swings and, you know, teeter-totters, whatever you call them. So that's how we did pass our time away with our friends. But in Alaska, there wasn't really that much to do in, what kind of games did we play? We skated. We had a skating rink in the winter, and we skated on ice skates. In the summer, we walked off into the woods, and, you know, as kids, we played in the woods a lot. We walked lots of miles. Do you know the place where the road goes all the way out and up into the hills? When you're there, over there, we used to walk all over the place. We just, you know, explored everywhere. That's what we used to do as kids. We're so far from town, there was nothing to do. So we just explored. What kind of games did we play? There was one game my kids are learning how to play now. Shariki. Do you ever play any Russian games? I think it came from Russia, or maybe it came from China. They have four marbles and kind of played like American Jacks, except you don't bounce the ball. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you play with these marbles. We used to play that game a lot whenever it was too cold to play outside. It's an indoor game. What do you remember your expectations of life in teen years? As a teenager, what did I expect from life? Those are hard questions. What did I expect from life? I wanted to, I don't really know what to say about it. It's been so long ago. Well, our girls get married pretty young. All these girls are probably pretty close to marriageable age by now. So that's what was expected of me, you know, but I didn't like that idea, you know. I wanted to go do something else. I wanted to have a job and have my own place and things like that. So I did end up doing that for a while. And go to college. I did that for a couple of years. So that's, I guess I did what I wanted to do. Didn't get married when I was 15. I got married when I was 24. In what ways were dating and courtship similar or different from dating and courtship of today's youth? Dating and courtship from today's similar. I don't know if it's changed that much, or maybe it has. I have to ask these kids how dating in courtship goes around about nowadays. In my parents' day, of course, it was lots different, you know, but when I was growing up, we used to, you know, a whole bunch of us girls would get together and, you know, because we lived in the village, we didn't really have any place to go, and the young men would get together. And what we used to do was we played ball, lopta, we called it. We played ball a lot. We did, you know, did different things together like that, and when they finally were able to have cars, you know, when finally they were able to buy a car or something, then we'd go to the movies or something. But I'm not sure what they do now. We just did our own thing. It wasn't where we sat around, you know, it wasn't in the old days where my grandmother, she didn't even know her husband. He just came from another village in search of a wife. And so he, you know, my mom used to say he walked in the door because there was an eligible girl in that house, you know, and walked in the door and he was going to, you know, and so she noticed a strange man walking in her parents' house, and she, you know, she was embarrassed. She wouldn't even look at him because she knew what he came for. And that was their courtship, and they got married. And they had, you know, all the kids, my mom and, you know, her brothers and sisters. And with my mom and dad, they knew each other because they were from the same village in China. But I don't think they, you know, went out to town. You know, they didn't do stuff like that. You know, like we would go out into the movies and things like that, and kind of dating like in Americans do now. So that's the difference. From my day, it's not much different to these days. Who did you admire and respect when you were growing up? I guess I admired and respected my mom. She had all these kids and she did all these things, and then she, you know, she didn't think that, you know, she had a bad life, you know. She did what she had to do. It was kind of pretty neat. I also admired my teacher, Mr. Moore. He's a pretty good teacher. When I went to school in Calabas, we had a building kind of like this. Only a few students and one teacher among all the students. So he taught me a lot. What was the expectation regarding attending school? Well, the parents didn't really expect too much from school. They wanted us to learn English. That came from just a Russian-speaking house. They wanted us to learn English, but they didn't really expect us to go to high school. You know, they just figured we go to school, we learn enough English, and when we're old enough, we drop out and we go to work and help support family. Most families are pretty big. Boys would go fishing. Girls would either get married pretty young or they'd help out at home. Or like in Oregon, a lot of young girls went to work in the sewing factories. Mm-hmm. So they didn't really expect. There's not very many graduates. In fact, this school's only had 5 graduates so far. Mm-hmm. What do you remember most about the schools you attended? What were your favorite and least favorite subjects? Well, my favorite subject was probably the English language and spelling. And my least favorite subject was math. I was very good in the English language and spelling, but I was not good in math. That's why they're my favorites and not favorites. What was the highest level you attended in school? Well, I did not graduate from high school. I would have liked to, but we did not have a high school in Nicolaevas. We only had 9 grades. So when I finished 9th grade, I went to work. And I worked for a couple of years and went to night school and got my GED. You know what that is, right? Mm-hmm. So then I went and got GED, and then I quit work and moved to Oregon and went to college for 2 years for my associates. Did you receive any technical training? No? What was the first job you held? Well, the first job I held when I was 16 or 17, I'm not quite sure how old I was. Probably about 16 when I finished 9th grade. I went to work at the school that I went to. I went to work at the kindergarten aid. Because all the students would come into school and they don't know any English. So, and then the teacher only spoke English and the kids only spoke Russian. So then I was there as the aid to help them learn English, and so there would be somebody who understood what they needed, their wants and needs. That was my first job. And how much money did I make on that job? I think I made about $700 a month. That's how I see it. Yeah, that's not bad for a 16-year-old. Describe your work career. Which job was most satisfying? Well, I enjoyed working with the kindergartners, being a kindergarten aide, but that's not really what I was cut out for. After I worked there for a year, I still worked at the school, but I had a different job. I had an office that I worked in, and I enjoyed doing that. I worked in an office. What did I do there? I worked with the teachers, I should say. I worked with the Russian teachers who were teaching Russian, and I helped them make little workbooks, little reading books, and that was my office work. I enjoyed doing that. Now I'm doing this. Do I enjoy doing this?
No. No, not at all.
Oh, yeah, I do. What do you think that it cost you per month to live at that time? When I was first working, I still lived at home. Didn't have to pay for an apartment. I still ate the food that my mom prepared and all that stuff. I didn't really have to pay for that. I did help out with some of the, you know, bills, electricity bills and things like that. So I didn't really know how much it would have cost me to live on my own. But when I moved to Oregon and went to college, I had to pay for the apartment, which was about $250 a month back then, and I had to buy my own food. I didn't really, and then I had to pay for college, so that was pretty expensive, so I had loans. I had a loan, plus I worked in the evenings. I don't know how much it is. The next questions pertain only to those individuals who are married. Okay, I'm married. When did you decide to get married? When did you move to whom? I decided to get married, well, because you get a lot of flack from everybody around you saying, why aren't you married yet? So you decide, well, I guess it's time to get married. So you find somebody. So I was 24. And so, but I did something different from everybody else was doing here. I did not marry a Russian.
Oh, wow.
So that was a big no-no. So in order to get married, he had to convert to our religion. So he had to convert and become a Russian Orthodox believer. What do you remember about that special day? The special day of marriage. Our marriage is different. I remember when I go to Nikolaevsk and I go to church there, I remember you know, us being married in that church. It's a real small church. And I remember going to that church, and my brother, who was the preacher at the time, you know, performing the ceremony. So yeah, I think that's pretty special. That's what I remember about that day. Were there any family traditions you followed in your wedding? The family traditions? Well, the whole wedding, every wedding is kind of like run by tradition. You know, you have certain things you follow. The first part of the wedding is what we call the divisioning. That's when all the single girls and the young men, well, her point, you know, they get together and with the young groom and the bride and sing songs. So that was one of the things that you do. And of course, the bride wears real pretty flowers and things. Yeah. But after that, you know, during that week, you know, of the divishnik, that's when all the preparations for the wedding are made, you know, for the svadba, I should say. Because this is just the divishnik, for the svadba. So when the bride and groom are taken to church to, you know, to be bound together, you know, that's when you exchange rings and everything else like that, and you exchange words. I do, or I do not in some cases. Anyway, then the svadba begins. And you have a feast, which we call it the whole night event first, of course you have a feast and, you know, all the guests come in. That's only for married people. All the married people come in and you have that feast and you eat lots of good food. So that's all traditions. And lots of drinks are passed around and everybody gets a little bit funny towards the end. But then what I remember most is the gift receiving line. The bride and groom receive gifts and everybody who wants to give gifts come in, sit down, give advice, give gifts. That takes a long time and you're receiving gifts from everybody and advice from everybody. I don't even remember any of the advice anybody gave me. That was just too much.
Have somebody write it down.
Yeah, somebody should have been writing it down. Tape recorder, that's what they need to do. Because I don't remember what anybody said. I don't even remember what my parents have said. It's pathetic. So that's all traditional.
Write it down the lemonade and put it over your bed.
Yeah, exactly. Remember how to do it. How to live in your marriage. What did you live after your marriage? Here in Alaska, not the house I'm living in now, but there used to be a house that was not too far from where we live. Describe the home. It's not a very pretty home. It doesn't even exist anymore. It was kind of big for the two of us. And it was built on really in a really moist area, and it was just too wet and moist inside. The walls were all moldy. Whenever you pushed anything against the wall, like a table, a chair, then the wall would get all moldy. And I couldn't keep my clothes inside the dresser because they would get moldy. I had to hang them up for sure. You know, the clothes had to be hung up and, you know, have air circulating them. It was a nasty house. We lived there for 1 year. Then we found an apartment that was much nicer. First year. What was your spouse's job? He is, a mechanic, a boat mechanic, fixed boats. Boats that people have fun on, not fishing boats. Mm-hmm. And boats that they take out on the lake. So he worked on that for years, for about 14 years. But the last 2 years, he's done construction. What do you think that it cost you per month to live at that time? It didn't cost very much the first year, even though we lived in that nasty house. We didn't have to pay for electricity because there was no electricity here in the first place. We run a generator whenever we needed something, you know, an electrical appliance. We run a generator, so didn't use that much very much. We had propane lights that we used, and, you know, you don't really spend a lot of money on that. What was the cost for much of that time? I don't even remember how much I got paid for that time. I'll have to figure that out. If you still want to know that, I have to figure that out. Next question. To students who had children. I did. I have four daughters. Here's one, Celestiana, and there's another one, Thaisia. The other one's in fifth grade out there. Her name is Ksenia. And then a second grader, Ivlalia. They were all born in Alaska, all born in the same hospital in Palmer. So, nothing different there. The eldest is 14, the second eldest is 12, and then there's the 9-year-old and the 7-year-old. That's all there. What did things that you carry over from your childhood and bring out of your children? Well, the way I was raised, I guess I'm still raising them the same way. They dress the same way we used to dress. They eat the same foods I used to eat. And pretty much do the things that I was raised to do. So the clothes and how to do that. They're learning to help me can, because I learned to can. They're learning not to talk back to me, even though it's really hard. Pretty much, you know, I'm raising them pretty much the same way my parents were raising me. Except I think I let him do a few more things my mother would never have allowed me to do, probably. So my mother didn't allow me to wear short sleeve dresses, which they do, and my mother didn't really allow me to go to the movies, which we did anyway, but.
Mm-hmm.
Не наступи на машину, посломаешь. Раз, раз. I don't know. What do your children do now? They all go to school. They haven't left my house yet, although I'm waiting. Still here. Where do your children live? In Alaska with me. We've already answered that question. Oh, yeah. Then in Washington. We spent summers in Washington. Mm-hmm. So then I spent summers in Washington with us. Do you have any grandchildren? Not yet. No grandchildren yet. Susanna is not quite there.
Right, Susanna? For the job.
These questions are general questions for all individuals being interviewed. What types of community activities did you participate in throughout your life? Community activities. Church. Church is a community. А другие, не знаю, какие.
Раз, 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 два.
О, которые можно есть? Я не помню, надо почитать.
Там есть.
Раз, раз, два, раз, два.
Special interest groups. None of that. Can you think of anything? I think social community organizations have problems.
Okay, what is she means?
На чем мы остановились?
А мы сейчас только проверили, но записываем.
In something that out of this community, you know, but not within the community, because we don't have certain things. You know, I wanted to be in a book club, so I, you know, joined the World Community Book Club, and we read books in the night, but not here, not as this village here. And like I said, when I was growing up, we used to get together and do handwork, embroidery, mm-hmm. sewing, things like that at somebody's house, and we'd change house, you know, every day. We'd go to somebody else's house. I do that here sometimes, but not inside within this community. The World Community also has a group they call the Stitching Bitch. So we go there and when some people, you know, do some knitting, some crocheting, some embroidering, you know, some, you know, sit around and talk and do some of this work. What did you find most rewarding, satisfying about the activities in which you participated? Most rewarding and satisfying. Mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of awesome. I enjoyed the activities that I did. All the activities that I did. Getting together. I think the most important thing is to get together with, you know, people who are doing the same thing maybe you're doing, in people who have maybe the same interests, or you can learn, or if not, then you can learn something from them. I think that's what I like about getting together with other people. That's the most rewarding experience to me, I think. And it doesn't matter if you're doing a book club or they're doing a stitch club. It's because you get together with, you know, other people and you can share. What sort of activities did you participate in after your children left home? Well, they haven't yet, but I would like to travel if I can afford it when they do leave. It's hard to travel with four kids. You can't take them everywhere. No, I enjoy. We did some traveling when you were young. We traveled through lots of different states, and we traveled a lot before the kids showed up. So that's something I'd like to do. I'd like to go to other countries. See, we travel, but we jump in a car and we travel, you know, 10,000 miles. That's one thing. But to fly to Europe or something, you know, I can't take everybody. What major events do you recall having a tremendous influence in your life? The Depression, wars, major events. Well, I don't know about the Depression or the war.